Lord, in the wondrous name of Jesus, we ask that by your grace we would let you have your way this morning. God, in every heart, in this message this morning, Lord, may we magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I'm just so thankful for my wonderful Lord and Savior. Could we even adequately ever praise Him? But Lord, we know it's got to be in your Word. We know it has to be anointed by your Spirit. And Lord, thank you that you've given us both this day. We're here in your name. We know you're in the midst of us. God, you've assured us of it in your Word. You've told us that you're pleased. God, that you're delighted. That, Lord, you do favor us. And it's all by your grace. Nothing that we could do today but just receive your wondrous favor toward your wonderful children of the King. Now, God, we just thank you. And, Lord, may we be attentive today. May we yield to the love of God, which is so mighty and I pray is so present here this morning. Lord, may we take just one thing out, even if it be that you would encourage, change our lives with this morning. And Lord, we know it's going to be the love. And it's in that wonderful, loving name of Jesus we say, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, we've come to the last thought on those three great pitfalls that we've been examining over the past few weeks, the three great pitfalls of man. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started out with ego or pride, knowing how destructive that can be. And last week, brothers and sisters, we talked about greed, covetousness. When that gets out of hand, I'm telling you, we can get in a mighty wreck. But today we've come to the last thought, and this one's going to be jealousy. And if you really think about it, it is so appropriate how the Lord has kind of lined this up. Once we yield ourselves to pride and greed, often jealousy is right there at the door to meet us. It's a threefold whammy that usually comes right in. But if you'll go over to Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Part of that verse is so direct and it leaves no doubt about jealousy. It says that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. It's as cruel as the grave. And if you look that up in Strong's and in Vines as well too, it'll tell you that jealousy is a life that is stiff-necked, that is hardened. It's a life that has no praise to God. It's a life that is decided to live in a pit in a very extreme sin. Proverbs 6:34 tells us that jealousy is the rage of man. And as our sweet brother was speaking earlier, that our tongue is so unruly, it's something that can never be tamed except by God. And when we go a jealous route, let me tell you something, the poisons that'll come out of your mouth. I know no one here knows that. We talked about those things on Wednesday. But just in case jealousy ever starts to attack your life, brothers and sisters, it's as cruel as the grave. And God's given us a great warning here. He's telling us if we're going to go into that realm of envy, if we're going to live in a life of jealousy, I'm going to tell you something, it'll destroy you, and it really will. Now, jealousy first came upon the scene and manifested itself in Cain. Many of I'm sure here today know the story of Cain and Abel. And in complete defiance to God, that jealousy manifested itself in Cain murdering Abel. And by jealousy, he took his brother's life. But jealousy continued on throughout the Word of God, and it even had reign in many of God's precious people, reared its head, its ugly head again and again. Whether it was in Saul or Joab or even Nathan. But where it really struck my heart to begin with was in the family of Joseph and his brothers. And if you really think about that, can you imagine such a sweet Christian family? What God has done so much for, their jealousy came to reign in those brothers. And I think we're without excuse. We're a family of God just like that, brothers and sisters. You think of the heritage that that family had in Christ. I mean, my goodness, you had Abraham, which was a great-grandpa. You had Isaac, the grandpa there, that was amongst those children. You had a daddy like Jacob. Now, he could be ornery, but let me tell you something. I believe he was yielding to God when he was raising up those children. Amen. And let me tell you that wonderful Rebekah. And then influence of Rachel and all of the different ones. The family of God was so present there. And you think of the increase that was given to that family. The wealth and all of the things that were there, the influence that was so round about their lives, the word being held so dear in that family's life. Yet Joseph's own brothers envied him so much. All of that left. They didn't care a thing about that. It never even entered into their mind. They were so envious of that little, probably snot-nosed brother, that they sought out to kill him. Realize what jealousy can do. This was a tight family. This is who God had chosen to show forth His 12 tribes. This is where it was beginning. God's precious family, God's people. And yet so quickly, over such a young one, jealousy so gripped their heart that they hated. And they hated unto death. Because jealousy is always as cruel as the grave. Now, brothers and sisters, I came into this pulpit this morning. And as I do every morning, by the grace of God, I love you. I do. And I would never want to come up here without the love of God in my heart. Brothers and sisters, all I can say is God has this message for each and every one of us. It might not be something that you're dwelling in right now, and you better say praise be to God. But you know what? Don't you ever be ignorant of the devil's devices. And don't you ever think that you're above anything. And don't you ever think that I'm just going to shelve that back in my life and I'm not going to deal with that place of my life. Because a lot of times, a lot of this envy and hatred and jealousy just gets sheltered so far back that you think that it's forgotten about. But unless you deal with it with God and allow Him to take it out of your life and to have you come to godly repentance in it, it'll never be free. It'll be there for the rest of your days. And it will destroy you. And it'll come back and come back and come back upon you until it has the best of you. And it is true because it's the Word of God. Now, you think of what this old jealousy could do in that family. Not only did it hate that brother so, just think that they would have no thought for the feelings of their daddy. Could you imagine that? That daddy that loved them so. And that dad that loved every one of those kids that provided so gratefully for that family. And yet they had no thought, no care about the dad's feelings. And how even after they didn't kill him, they allowed that dad to stay in the thought that that son had died for all of those years. Let me tell you something. When jealousy grips your life, it is so self-consuming, it doesn't think of anybody else. It can't think of anything else except the jealous intent. It's dead. It's a grave. It's a place, by the grace of God, you have got to get out of. And the way that you get out of it is you admit it before the Lord. And you say, Jesus, I need to be delivered. Sin is sin. But the Lord so sweetly marks out certain sin that can consume and possess your life. And it can come in so many different ways. Let me tell you something. I have witnessed it in so many different ways. And I'll tell you what. It'll always take you right out of your godly character. And it will. I don't care how much you can march around in praising the Lord. When that jealousy's there, it's going to make you who you aren't. You weren't called to that. That's not you. That's something that's just deceiving you. That's just something that's in your life that you're thinking is so important that I've got to fix upon that. It's just another idol that's robbing you of the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's a realm of darkness in that jealousy, brothers and sisters. But I'm going to tell you the love of God is the way out. But I am going to tell you that I've witnessed it in so many different ways. And sure, it can be the hatred or the envy of what somebody has. Oh, that's a simple one. But you know, the enemy gets a lot of God's precious people with just simple ones. And he can. Absolutely. Think of this whole political situation right now. Let me tell you something. This old world is very good at it. It's getting the have-nots to hate the haves right now. And it's getting so bad that way that the haves hate the have-nots. So see, they're doing a pretty good job. There's an old saying, if you divide the people, you can conquer them. But there's one that's even older than that, that says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Amen? Amen. You don't have to go that way. You do not have to go that way. You don't have to hate. You don't have to be jealous. Let me tell you something again and again and again, as God's precious people have sent me so many things over the email about this election, God forbid you let yourself go that way. And I mean that. This kind of stuff just divides God's precious people. You may have your thoughts. You may have, in a sense, a hope. But I pray to God that that hope's in Christ, that He's going to put up whom He will and down whom He will. And God forbid, if your person didn't get in, God's person did. Well, are you really going to say that in 2 weeks, brother? Yes, I am. Amen. Because He told me that He would put up whom He will. He did. He promised me that. God has always got a man for the job. And I'm telling you, you don't know what the job might be this time. This might be the last job. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I know one thing. My hope is not going to be in that person. My hope's going to be in God. And whoever that president is, he's going to be my president. And he is. Because God told me to pray for my leader. And you know what? No matter who it might be, I'm still going to have a hope in God that, you know, He might be able to change that heart if it doesn't have a heart for God. If it has a heart for God, then I'm going to pray for that person that he'd have more of a heart for God. What do you think of that? Well, I've had people just say, well, that's foolishness. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. And you don't know. You don't know. You don't know anything. God does know. And you need to understand that and put your confidence in Him. Got some boots today. But it can also be, brothers and sisters, not just what somebody has in a sense of a material possession. But it might even be how somebody might look. It might be a talent that they have. It might be their education, how smart they are. See, that's a good reason to hate anybody, isn't it? He's better looking than I am. I gotta hate him. He's got a leg up on me for that job. Huh? Don't you believe that God will give you exactly what you need? Don't you believe that God will give you exactly who you need? Really? I hope you do. Precious how He does that. I know there are a lot of people better looking than me. And I'm going to tell you the truth. But He sure gave me a pretty wife. And He did. And see, He's teaching me about the grace of God. You just go take from Him. Say, Lord, amen. Amen. And be so thankful in that. Now don't tell her I said that. She'll get after me. See how much fun I can have. The liberty I have. Praise God. But you know, instead of just sometimes getting bitter or letting the enemy get one over on us, how about really being people of God and having us rejoice that the Lord can get a hold of people? I'm so thankful that the Lord got a hold of me. I'm so thankful that the Lord got a hold of you. I'm so thankful that He can bring in people that were on the streets, people that were in drugs, people that were in jail, people that were in a lot of different places. But you know, I also rejoice that He can bring in somebody that has wealth. Have you ever been thankful for that? Yes. Not because of what you're going to get out of them, but what God can do in them. That's right. How about that God can get a hold of somebody that's really beautiful, or somebody that's really talented, or somebody that has a lot of education? How that speaks to the faithfulness of God, that He didn't say, not any mighty, not any wise. He said, not many. And when anyone wants to go on with the deeper things of God, I rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ is doing it. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful to God when I see people with much. And I'm talking about whatever it may be. The talent, the looks, the money. Maybe they've got all of it. And yet they realize that it's not in that at all. But it's all about Jesus. And they sit there and they praise Him. They say, thank you, Lord. Now that's all of us, brothers and sisters. But I'm going to tell you, we need to be thankful. We need to be a people of great thanks and great appreciation of what God is doing. As Brother Hill used to say, ain't it grand, the devil don't have all the talent. Isn't that wonderful? Were you praising the Lord for my two dear sisters over here? You talk about a package of a lot of worldly wants over there, but God's got it. God's got it. And we need to rejoice in it. Thank you, Jesus. But you see, jealousy is also multifaceted. It can come in like so many different ways, but it can come in like it did on that prodigal son's brother. Remember the prodigal son? We love to rejoice about him. We don't talk about much of his brother, do we? But there is, everybody was rejoicing, so thankful that the Lord had brought another lamb back into the fold. Hallelujah. Never left in a sense, just out there wandering around. Oh, but praise God, he's back. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. Let's be thankful for the faithfulness of God. And yet there was that bitter brother. Oh, no, he wasn't going to rejoice. He wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't going to do anything except get upset at his old daddy, who has given so much attention to that no good brother. Dad, he'd been out in the world all that time. Isn't there some payback? Don't we have to put him in the corner for a while and let him know that he did wrong? See, God already did that. God already did that. He didn't even expect a thing, did he? It was the state of the heart when he came back. Man, Dad, if I can just work in the kingdom somewhere. If I could just get back in here by the skin of my teeth. I'm so sorry for what I did. I know I blew it. I know I wasted it. But thanks be to God, that's what he's doing for each and every one of us this day. That's when I've been saying every day that I come up here, it's today. And it was that day that he took that son and he said, no son, you're not out there. You got a crown on your head. You just haven't realized it. And you need to come on in here. I've got a ring and I've got a coat. That's the grace of God. And see, that doesn't encourage me to go out there and blow it and to waste it. It encourages me to serve the Lord. It encourages me to take the grace of God and to live a godly life and to realize it's not me and to say, thank you, Jesus, that you're working in my life. But see, that's what God can do. That's what God can do. But see, there's that old brother. Do you want to be like him? The whole kingdom's rejoicing, and yet he's just sitting over there missing it all. And I do feel sorry for him. See, God's got a feast going on right now. And he does. He does. The wife hath made herself ready. She's operating like that. I'm telling you, I've feasted on that table already. I'm thankful to God. Absolutely. Let me tell you, it's got some wonderful food. And I pray to God we're all feasting on it. It's a marriage supper rich and rare. And if you're not tasting it down here, brothers and sisters, you're not going to taste it up there. You're going to miss it. Sure, that self-righteous, bitter brother, he was there. But he sure didn't enter in, did he? He didn't. I used to think about when God used to bring me into church. And there were things I'd harbor. Things I knew that weren't right. Things I knew that people hadn't done me right. Christians, people in the meeting. Devil had me right where he wanted me to be. And I sat in here many a Sunday and many a Wednesday. And I didn't enter in. Huh? God help us. It's here. It's here because he's here. We're here to dine. We're here to enter in and to dwell together in unity. This is wedding time now. Now. It really is. That dwell together means settling down in marriage. We studied that, brothers and sisters. It's all over this Word of God. And let me tell you something. I've seen jealous spouses before. Jealous one of another. Those marriages don't last long. They don't. They pull apart. They don't work together. They just don't. well, you got this and I didn't get that, and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. That's how children act, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something. Children don't marry Jesus. They don't. She's got to be mature. She does. She enters in. She submits. She understands. She receives the love of God. And she loves her spouse. And she loves the head and she loves the body. And she loves Christ equally in both. And let me tell you something. If there is a part of the body here that's going to marry Jesus Christ, it's going to be the part that loves one another. Period. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. I didn't read any ands, ifs, or buts after John 3:16, did you? Huh? Praise the Lord, I never did. He just loved. And He said it's forever. Oh, thank You, Jesus. I'm beginning to see it. I'm just beginning to see it. And it's a good thing to see. Hallelujah. But brothers and sisters, we really should be shouting hallelujah and praise be to God when a brother or sister in Christ comes back into the fold, praising God for the faithfulness of the Lord. And I have to tell you, it never ceases to amaze me when there's people that love the Lord that yet don't rejoice when a brother or sister walks back through these doors. Oh yeah, I told you I had boots on today. God gave me a big pair. I'm stepping on toes, I know it. But we rejoice. We're thankful. We're grateful to God. Absolutely. For God's faithfulness. Amen. That the grace of God came in such a wonderful way. That you know what? That brother or sister in Christ just came out of self-condemnation. See, a lot of times what keeps you out of this place is self-condemnation. A lot of times it's bitterness. A lot of times it's just anything you want it to be. The devil's got a whole deck, whatever you want to choose. He'll give it to you. But you know what? Once the Lord has strengthened a life to come back in, shouldn't we rejoice? Shouldn't we be thankful? Shouldn't we say, praise be to God for the faithfulness of the Lord? Have you ever even thought, now, by the grace of God, if you've never departed, in a sense, from the fellowship, you're a thankful, thankful one. I hope you are. But could you imagine how difficult it would be to come back? Now, do you realize how thankful that dad was when his son came back? Do you understand why he got the ring and the coat? He threw a feast? Don't you think we should be a little bit like Jesus? How about you think we should be a lot of it like Jesus? I want to enter into that kind of stuff. I do. If you really love the Lord, you want everybody to finish well. And I'm not just saying that you come here and that means you're going to finish well. Come on. But I do know the message is here. And I know it's here for you. And I'm thankful to God that, I'll tell you what, He's causing hearts to rejoice one for another to receive it. Instead of thinking how arrogant or unrepentant somebody is, I'm just going to thank God that He's working. What do you think? Are you going to thank God that He's working? Or are you going to sit there and be bitter? Well, how about finally thinking about even the life of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Do you remember how so many of them envied and were so jealous of the grace and the liberty that was in the Son of God? Now think about that. They were jealous of it. They were envious of it. And this was very God of very God. He just had it. But see what the enemy can do? And they sat around and they said, oh, look at that. That so-called Son of God. He's not keeping the Sabbath. Look at that. There's no way He could have that liberty. Healing people by all means. That's got to be a work. Could you imagine how silly that is? Here they saw something so mighty and so wonderful. Because He wasn't a keeper of days. Because He was the I Am. He was it all. He had it all anyways. And there He was healing those sweet ones that had faith to come to Him. that were so needy and so desperate, they had to turn. Amen. You're so needy and you're so desperate, you have to turn? Say, praise the Lord. And that's what God can do. But see, there they were. And they were continuing to mock Him. Think about how they would mock Him to say, look at the derelicts that He keeps company with. Likes of you and me. Hey, the last shall be first. Go ahead and get in front of me. Down here. What do you think? I'm realizing it. I don't want to be highly esteemed of men. Nope. I want to be highly esteemed of God. That's right. And see, that's His work. He'll get that done. I don't need to do that. But there was sweet Jesus. He spent time with those ignorant, unlearned disciples. You knew how they came in there and said, those are unlearned men. Basically, they're calling them a bunch of dumb idiots. They're dummies. Fishermen. Oh, how they must have smelled. And that's what they said about your Jesus. So jealous and so envious that they would say that about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay? That's how jealousy can be as cruel as the grave. That's how we know that, you know, God, when He says something, it's true. And it finally, even so, the epitome of it all was when that sweet woman was wiping His feet and they laughed and they said, oh yeah, if that was the all-knowing God, there's no way He'd let that prostitute touch His feet. And He bid her come and said, you get over here, honey. If you want to touch me, by all means, touch me. Amen. Touch Him. Come on now. And where He's going with this, brothers and sisters, we should want everybody to touch Him. Hallelujah. There's none too wicked. There's none too sinful. Come unto me. There is no requirements. It's just a heart that said, Jesus, I need you. Those wonderful three words, I need you. And if you don't have a heart that has that for somebody else, you need Jesus. You need deliverance. You need help. And you need it now. But I often see Christians, and I refer this to the bitter jealousy all wrapped in self-righteous judgment. And that's what it is. It really is. I don't know which one stinks worse. It's just all there and it's stinky. And the Lord called it filthy rags. You get your self-righteousness out of here. You can disguise it any way you want. But I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Not at all. But I'll tell you what. We had better start rejoicing for the liberties of the sons of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
I mean that. Do you rejoice for the liberties of the sons of God? Are you thankful that all of His wonderful, precious vessels don't come all in the same shape and the same size? They don't look all alike? They rejoice differently? Some of them are even a little bit more quiet than others? I encourage you to get the glory of the Lord to become a rocking and shaking vessel. But it's the same filling in all, isn't it? See, that's the beautiful thing. And brothers and sisters, we need to rejoice for that. We need to rejoice for the glorious freedoms. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for that, for my life and for yours. Because I know you need it just as much as me. How many times did you need it this week? And I don't want to hear. But you think about that. Yes, you did. You needed it 24/7. Oh, yes, you do. Praise God. And this is what abides in the sons of God, brothers and sisters. It's there for us. And we should rejoice for one another in it. And how I thrill for my brethren in Christ and all the liberties that He has bestowed upon you. I'm so grateful to God. I'm understanding how truly Brother Hill could say about the wonderful people, the children of God, as they would yield to God and be thankful for the things that they have. Be thankful for the people that they are. To glory with them. To be thankful that they are that vessel that God had made to display and to bestow the glory of God. However it is, God's people don't come in one package. This is what much of religion wants to pump out. Is it's got to look this way. And it doesn't. It just doesn't. The one thing I can say it looks like, though, is it looks like Jesus. Because it does become from glory to glory, even into the very image of Him. So I guess I say for each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, you know, we can leave again today being bitter about something, couldn't we? Now we could. I believe the grace of God and His love has encouraged us that we could come together and realize that this is something that we can fall into that pit. And very easily we can fall into that pit. Because covetousness turns into jealousy very quickly. And it does. Or we can understand that it says that it's good and it's pleasant to dwell together in unity. To settle down in marriage as spouses that have the right direction in their life. As spouses that truly are growing in that oneness, one in the other. And that's what God has called us to. I'm praying by the grace of God that this day, and I often write it to my brothers and sisters in Christ when I write them a letter, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Do you thank God upon every remembrance of everyone here? Do you remember? Do you remember them throughout the week? Do you say, thank you, Jesus, for the hearts that are here to come and praise you? Thank you, Jesus, that brother or sister so-and-so that was caught in that horrible, horrible sin or that horrible situation that they're even caught in now, that the grace of God had them in this meeting here today. That God in His faithfulness is continuing to draw that heart in love. That He's not just delivering them from that, but by the grace of God, He might just deliver them right out of this world and it might yet be today. All I know is that the threshold that it told me to be in that first trump is it said to love His appearing. Now, you know what? I know one thing that does it. It's the grace of God. And that's the only thing that's going to do it. And I don't want to sit around here judging you why you're not going to be in it. I want to look to the Word of God and understand why you're going to be in it. And I want to pray for you. And I want you to pray for me. Because all I know is it tells me the weights of this world, there's no way I'm going to fly out of here with them on my life. And I know that this jealousy, this bitterness, let me tell you something. It is a coffin. And it'll nail you down. But by the grace of God, you can go out this day with the love of God. And you can say, thank you, Jesus, that you've delivered me from this. And thank you, Jesus, that I know when you deliver, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. And it's done. And I can go out from this place and be so thankful for every remembrance of you. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads.
Why heart does there a halt between two places? Come forth. Put thy heart upon mine. Let thy hand be in mine. Let this day be thy beginnings.
Oh, let's stand and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Yaliono yashamama yaki. Oh, God, in your love and your might and your power, Lord, over this congregation. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, we're so grateful for your faithfulness. God, these are the last times, and you said it so clearly. God, these are the last trials. These are the last temptations. Lord, let us finish well. Let us finish with joy. Lord, cause our hearts to turn it over to you today. God, you're the God of deliverance. Lord, you deliver. And Lord, today, have us open our hearts today to say, Jesus, you are able. God, I have been so unable for so long, but Jesus, you can get it done. And Lord, you want us to finish with joy. Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy that was set before you, you endured the cross for us. God, help us to enter into that love, that peace, that joy, that rest. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these last finishing chisels upon our life. God, help us to receive them. Help us to be still and to know that you are God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.